We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
I went to church. I prayed.
I gotta pray Kevin Durant's coming. I gotta pray Kyrie's coming.
Preach it, preacher.
I gotta pray that ping pong balls falling in the Knicks' favor.
I'm told if the Knicks get that number one overall pick, they would then shift their focus toward a potential deal for Anthony Davis.
James, the number one pick. Think about it.
The third pick goes to the New York Knicks.
Swing and a miss, strike three, 17 strikeouts for Chris Sale.
It's called a power pitcher, by the way.
In the tunnel, he goes, you're not going to let me get 20.
You're the siren sounder. You got this place just humming.
Stand back. There's a hurricane coming through.
And your kids die, too.
Hurricanes win this game, too.
Bruins aren't winning this game. There's no way they win this game because they're pumped.
The Bruins have taken a 3-0 lead in the series, winning the game by a score of 2-1.
And all right, go ahead.
Right now. On Sports Radio WEEI.
What an unbelievable night, huh? What an unbelievable night. First 20 minutes, first period. All right? Tuca's standing on his head. Stood on his head. It's a hockey term. He stood on his head.
You're right. Nothing like playoff hockey. You guys turned me.
Christian, what'd you think?
It's unbelievable. Nothing like playoff hockey.
Unbelievable.
That's what I was saying. I was sitting there in the first 5 minutes. I'm like, wow, there's nothing quite like this. And I started thinking, No, there's about 10 other things that I think are a little bit better than
like
playoff
what?
Hockey.
Give me the list.
This series, sex, one.
Okay.
How about that?
Okay.
We'll start
give
with number
that
one.
Okay. Give me that. Try number two now.
Hopscotch.
What is hopscotch?
Jump rope. Stop it, please. Beach volleyball.
See, why are you knocking it? It was a great game last night.
Crown the Rocks.
It's unbelievable.
A good glass of scotch.
I'll tell you one thing that might have been close second to Tuukka Rask in the first period last night. How about the way the league set up the New York Knicks and the New York Knicks fans? I mean, gave them a little bit of hope that maybe they were going to get something out of it, and then they slammed number three right in their face.
It was enjoyment.
Woo!
That's the beauty of, like, so they already know how it's going to end. So the producers are sitting in their trucks, and they're going, okay, let's keep it on the Knicks fans.
Oh, they don't know.
Let's tease them. And then, okay, kill them.
Yeah, but those people don't know. So, but the people apparently in the room, because they had a lot of people, including our buddy Chris Mannix, and they were their stuff after it was over, because they were quarantined. They couldn't get out of the room. When they got out of the room, it was great, because they were all sitting there saying, they were all laughing as they put the picture up.
You know, it is devastating, though, right?
For the Knicks?
Oh, yeah, for any organization.
That's bad.
You're that bad. Yeah. You figure you get the number one pick. Yeah. There's this exciting, obvious number one guy out there in Zion Williamson. And the rumors of, hey, we have him. Maybe we just keep him. Hey, maybe we trade him. We move on. We go get Anthony Davis. So the future of that organization sat there and waited to see, you know, when they get called. And they get called third. It's devastating. And it's enjoyable for us. I mean, I think it's hysterical.
I got to tell you, it was hilarious. I was getting a little bit concerned because when the Lakers move up from number 11 all the way to 4, it's a nice move. It's not, you know, you're not going to find
where they were.
Yeah, it's better than where you were. It wasn't great, but it was good for them. But the Knicks, who are looking in the number one spot, even though the first three had the same percentage of hitting it, and they dropped down.
Well, see, and that was funny because
for the last
4 or 5 months, it's only been about the Knicks.
Yep.
You haven't heard about any other teams that had just as bad of a record as the Knicks, that were trying to tank to get that number one pick. But everyone kept talking about the Knicks.
Well, the funny thing about it is, it's like the Knicks.
It's like it was last year when the worst team would have a 25%
Knicks and Phoenix.
So everybody, right?
But Knicks, obviously, the big free agents.
Right. So everybody talked about the Knicks getting Zion Williamson so they could complete the troika and make that deal with New Orleans to get Anthony Davis, and what ends up happening. But the other team they want to deal with gets Zion.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Even crazier.
So everybody's all fired up about the new way. This is what the NBA wanted. A little bit of a controversy, a little bit of excitement, just to get people tuned in to the lottery.
I think if you're a Celtics fan, it worked out perfect.
I agree.
Other than the fact that maybe you would have liked to have been, you know, two or three from that Sacramento pick.
Yeah.
But so now Memphis has two, right? So no big deal. Perfect. Now next year, hopefully they suck. They get top six, and now you're golden. And New Orleans now is definitely going to trade Anthony Davis. It's perfect.
They are going to trade.
They're absolutely.
And this whole idea that you and you're seeing it already. What did you expect David Griffin to say? He's going to sit there and do whatever he can.
Tell you everything that he's
going
to do.
No, he's going to sit there and say, I'm going to follow through and see if I can sign Anthony Davis. He has to say that.
No, he gets a fan base now that's excited.
Right.
They're about to lose Anthony Davis, so you're pissed.
But they're okay now.
But you've got Zion.
Right.
You know what I mean? Now you can sell Zion. So now you go get the best deal you can for Anthony Davis, because they're not going to. Anthony Davis is not staying because of Zion Williamson.
No way.
Not a chance. Done. So now you get the best deal you can for Anthony Davis, and you say, okay, here we go. We get the number one pick.
I couldn't believe how many of the writers, though, the beat guys, were sitting there going, oh, now they have a dilemma in New Orleans. They don't have a dilemma.
Well, not basketball games.
But if you're Anthony Davis, you're 26 years old. You don't want to go backwards and play with the 18-year-old. Didn't we all learn that this past year? That the older players didn't enjoy playing with the younger players because the younger players have a totally different agenda than the older players. Anthony Davis is at that portion of his career right now where he has developed into a top five player, and now it's about winning championships.
But I also would say
with legitimate stars.
Okay, but also there's something about paying your dues in a smaller market like New Orleans. Okay, say what you want about the food and the fans,
food's
and they
good.
Love you and everything. Ah, yeah, I get it.
Fun time.
But there is something about playing in a bigger market with bigger, higher expectations, a bigger fan base, more media attention, just everything that goes with it. That's what you want. If you really want to make a name for yourself, that's why people want to play in L.A., regardless of how bad they've been for so many years.
Yeah.
You want to be in that market.
Yeah, I wouldn't waste any time on anybody who writes or talks about the possibility of Anthony Davis staying in New Orleans. And if you're talking about where the Celtics go from this, if I'm Danny Ainge, I'm looking at how everything fell last night, and I'm saying, perfect. If Zion had gone to New York, that would have put them in a key position to be able to get Anthony Davis. You got number three. I'm not sure that's it's better than what you had, but it's not as good as what it could have been. And I still think Boston can put a better package out on the table. And for L.A., they have a little bit more than they did before, but again, probably not enough at number four. I mean, the Lakers have been drafting in the top four for the last 5 years.
Yeah.
What good has it done them? Nothing. Send him nothing.
I tell you what, you think Zion's going to be good?
I don't know. I think he's going to be good. Is he going to be great?
So well, no, I keep hearing like all the hype. There's a ton of hype. And obviously, it's like a highlight reel watching this kid play. He's phenomenal. But he's not LeBron James.
That's great.
He's not.
Yeah.
He's, he's can he play? I don't know. 6'7", power guy?
That's the problem.
I don't know. I'm sure he's going to be okay. Would you be surprised if R.J. Barrett or Ja Morant's better than him?
No,
well, I wouldn't be at all.
How about this? No. So we had a Scal on last week, and you can talk about shooting guards and wing players all you want, but his biggest thing, and I tend to agree with him, although maybe not based on the fact of how well Steph Curry is playing and how much he's helping his team win, even though Kevin Durant's not playing right now. A big athletic guy will give you more production and has a greater upside than a smaller wing.
But he's 6'7". In the league right now.
I know, but he doesn't play 6'7". The guy's got one of the highest verts ever seen. So I wouldn't sit there, and he's 6'7", 285.
Still 6'7".
I mean, okay, but so what?
No,
but
he doesn't
play at 6'7".
But the problem is, though, is that at the college level, he's not playing against, like, just men. You know, who's he covering?
Well, some other 19-year-old kid. I mean,
6'7" that doesn't have the vertical leap that he has.
He's 6'7".
That's fine, but again, I would say I wouldn't put him in a Giannis category as far as how the Bucks found Giannis. He was in some old school gym in Greece.
Yeah, they didn't trust him.
Huh?
They didn't trust his game.
Well, I know, but my point is that it was like, here's this body type, here's this frame of this guy. Okay, let's project what we think this guy can be. Okay, and then there's a risk there, obviously, but will he be great? I have no idea what he's going to be like.
Yeah, the issue is
you have to start nearer to the yes than you do the no.
And it's good for New Orleans because, again, if you're going to lose Anthony Davis, you need to replace him, and not just with a Jason Tatum, but now you go number one pick, you get your fan base excited, right? Well, I don't understand. Was it Chris Gasper that tweeted out devastating night for the Celtics or something?
How?
I have no idea because he didn't follow up on a tweet.
He'll fill us in a couple weeks.
No, months.
He didn't write an article on it either, right?
Not
how
that
was
I
that,
saw
how was that devastating?
Chris Gasper, Boston Globe.
Do people really think, that Anthony Davis is going to sign an extension to play with Zion Williamson? You just mentioned it. Kyrie's going crazy, playing with these kids. LeBron's going crazy playing with these kids. He is so done with New Orleans. This is the best case scenario. He is going to definitely get traded, which he was anyway. He didn't go to New York. You don't get Memphis at 9. So it's all great. You didn't get 14, didn't jump to 2, 3, 4. Okay, what did you really think that was going to happen?
Was that his point? That they got 14th? I mean, the chances chances were like 98% or 97% that they were going to end up with 14.
Did he tweet any more about it? I didn't see anything else. I was looking this morning. I'm like,
I don't know. I thought it was a good night for them.
We'll find out in a week.
The Memphis pick carries over to next year, and you could see them blowing it up. They get the number 2 pick, so I think they probably go for Morant at that number 2 pick and now are able to deal Conley, open up some money on the cap for them, and start building for the future. Blow it up, start all over again. Well, usually what happens, and we're seeing it in Atlanta, we're seeing it with some of these young players that are really good. They have good first years, but their teams don't win an awful lot of games, which is perfect for Boston holding Memphis's pick, top 6 protected next year, unprotected the year after that. And Boston may not even hold on to it. If I'm New Orleans, I want that pick from Boston. That's got great upside for me, right? Perfect. Because I've got the next couple of years to do it. And we could end up with the number 1 pick in 2021. And I believe that might be the year in which we're going to get a double draft. That's the year in which the NBA is now going to flip and go, we're taking the high school kids. We're not doing the one and done anymore. So that could be a huge draft.
So they're going to double dip in the high school ranks. Okay, right. So better position, worse position, same position before the draft. Are the Celtics in the same position? Are they in a worse position? Or are they basically right where they were before
the draft? I think they're
in
the same position because they didn't lose anything last night, Christian. I would say
a lot happened.
I would say the Lakers are slightly better position because they went 11-4, and the Knicks, based on anticipation that you thought they were going to get number one, it's not as good, right? It's not as good. If they got Zion, I think we would be sitting here saying,
I think you should be happy.
You're going to lose Anthony Davis.
I'm happy the way it played
And then you're going to lose Kyrie on top of that. Not only are you losing Anthony Davis, but you're going to lose Kyrie to New York because it's going to be Kyrie, Durant,
no, you should be,
and Anthony
Davis. I have no clue why it would be negative.
I don't understand what he was tweeting.
Unless you, for some reason, think that Zion in New Orleans is going to keep Anthony Davis there, which I have no idea. You got to run that one by me. I don't know how that works.
Well, the average guy in the NBA who plays four, how tall is he?
He turns 19 years old in July.
How did it not play out perfectly for you? Sure. It would have been Sacramento at 4 would have been beautiful. That didn't happen. No, 3. That's ideal. But I mean, how greedy do you want to get?
Yeah, I've already seen it. You know, the visions, people are writing the visions of the pick and roll and the pick and pop because of Davis's outside shooting ability, which Zion still has not developed yet. And you're going, they can do this and they can do that together. He's 19 years. He's going to be 19 years old when he starts playing his first year in the NBA.
And by the way, we're just forgetting.
It's going to drive Anthony Davis crazy.
Can Anthony Davis just come back now and say, "Oh, just kidding"?
Yeah,
That's another one.
I mean, really? Is that where we're at? No, it's done. He's gone.
Does he have to throw away that T-shirt? He burns that T-shirt.
Yeah. He's gone.
That's all, folks. He burns that.
The issue you should have and worry about is, I don't know, maybe those guys down there like R.J. Barrett as well.
Possibility.
I don't know. They look at number 3 and they say, you know what, still, we think that he's going to be a great pro. So we'll take the 3. Dennis Smith.
Here's what I would
and
say.
Knox.
Here's what I would say if I'm David Griffin. I would sit there and say, I could take one of those draft picks, or I could take a draft pick that could even be number 1 in a premier year 2 years from now with Memphis. Plus, I can also get Jason Tatum. He's better than getting the 3rd pick in the draft. You know why? Because I already know what he's developed into, and I think there's great upside there. So why not go for something that's a more sure thing as opposed to going for the number 3 pick in the draft that we think could be good but could be a total stiff? I still think Boston is sitting in a very good position in all of this. All right, we'll get to all of it. I do not believe the Hurricanes suck, and I'm going to make my case coming up next, even though the series is 3-0. We'll get into the Bruins, and Alex Cora will join us coming up at 2:30. I don't know if you saw it last night. There was a lot going on. Chris Sale struck out 17 of these Rockies.
What's
17.
Going on?
Matter of fact, the Red Sox had 24 strikeouts pitching in that entire game and lost the game. But Sale had 17 of those in 7 innings. We'll get into all of that coming up with Alex Cora. And we open up the phone lines at 617-779-7937.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're back with more Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
How about the biggest loser last night, Sean Farnham?
I think the biggest loser was the Celtics, because we came into this lottery saying, okay, look, the Kings pick, if it becomes better than what we expect it to be, now all of a sudden the Celtics are the forefront of the Anthony Davis trade discussion. Now they come up with the last pick overall. Now you've got question marks as far as what's going to happen with Kyrie. Mm-hmm. We had Rozier on the program yesterday. Yeah. Obviously, he made some strong comments about how that organization looked this year. So now all of a sudden, things maybe not as rosy and as plentiful as far as trade value goes for the Boston Celtics.
A year ago at this time, the Celtics looked like they might win the championship and get Anthony Davis. Life comes at you fast.
Once you tell me that Terry Rozier helped you make your point, I'm out. Okay, I'm out at that point. That's a ludicrous thing to say. First of all, anybody that expected the Celtics were going to get themselves a number two or number three pick with that Sacramento pick, you were really out. You know what the chances are?
Oh, here's the thing. That? I mean, obviously, if you got it, it helps.
Of course, it's a huge advantage. But the chances of doing that?
But did the Celtics really need this year's draft picks to put a package together to have the best offer for Anthony Davis?
No.
No. So why do they think the future of Celtics acquiring Anthony Davis had anything at all to do with that Sacramento pick? Now, again, if it went to 2, 3, or 4, you could use it and maybe save a player. You know, maybe not have to give up as much, you know, players involved, young players, but... Even at 14, that draft pick, you don't need that draft pick to have the best offer for Anthony Davis.
So you have the two teams that seem to be the biggest, courting Anthony Davis the most. So just call it the Lakers and the Celtics. And based on what
happened. And maybe the Knicks, right?
Okay, I'll give you the Knicks too. Okay, so based on that, just based on those three teams, now just assume that Anthony Davis is leaving. He's not staying. He's got to go somewhere. One of those three teams. If you're the Pelicans, who gives you the best options? Who gives you the best assets? Who gives you the best players? What package? Give you the best package for Anthony Davis? And who has those assets?
I just think that the Lakers rather missed by one spot. You know, and nobody knows with this draft who's going to be what, you know, who's going to be the great players. But all that really matters is the hype that goes into it. And the hype right now is the top three. And that's it. I mean, it's not a deep draft. So you hear the top three guys, right? Zion, RJ Barrett, Morant probably two, Barrett three. After that, it's I don't know who the fourth pick is. So isn't it just about the hype that matters more than anything? If there's not much hype for that fourth pick, I don't know. Is that a great?
Let me give you three picks. Let me give you three possibilities. Okay,
right.
Three possibilities.
You did the math.
I do. So you send Brown or Tatum. One of the two. Now, obviously, if you send to both, you knock both of those teams right out of the block. Okay? They're gone. Okay? And you can do that. So, but I'm only including one on the first deal, and then we can move on beyond that. Brown or Tatum. Marcus Smart. You do a sign and trade with Terry Rozier. Okay? And if you do that, you can actually take Smart out of the deal and put Smart back on your team if you're doing about $12 million with Terry Rozier. And maybe New Orleans really likes him. Maybe they really enjoyed him on TV yesterday. That's a possibility. If you want to add an additional player, you can throw a Robert Williams out there or somebody like that that's got great upside with New Orleans. You give them the Memphis number one pick, which is protected top six next year or unprotected in 2021, and you still have... four other picks that you could dangle in front of them. 14, 20, 22, 51. That's what Boston has. Here's what the Knicks have. They have the number three pick overall in the draft. They have Kevin Knox, and they have Dennis Smith Jr.
Yeah.
But those are the only two legitimately good players on their team. Once they do that, then their biggest problem is trying to convince Durant and Kyrie and everybody else, because we got nobody else on our team. And once we give you guys the maximum contract deals, We're done.
See,
we're dealing with minimum contract guys. Let's go to the Lakers. The Lakers move up from 11 to number 4. They have that. They have Lonzo Ball. Anybody want to raise their hand for Lonzo Ball?
His dad comes with them, right?
Man with him.
Bringing back his shoe line,
though. You got Kyle Kuzma
and Ingram.
And you got Ingram, okay? But since the Knicks and the Lakers did not get number one, because that would have changed everything, because a young team that's starting to build like New Orleans would want Zion, and New Orleans ended up getting Zion. So if I'm New Orleans, I'm looking to build young now. That's what I want to do. I want to build a new young team. Why not start it with somebody like a Tatum?
Oh, I would seriously get rid of all the old guys. I would go strictly young guns, energetic guys that are just will be happy to be in New Orleans. And then maybe they got 2 to maybe 3 years left on their contract if they're already in the league. And then just focus on that. Get rid of the older guys. Be exciting. Be the place to be. So if you don't win right away, big deal. But at least you grow. Treat it like a college team. Bunch of high school kids come together. Run the old guys off the court. That's what I would do.
You're talking about Zion, and we're talking yesterday about Terry Rozier. And the thing that seemed to piss him off the most in a very selfish manner was he wanted to control the ball all the time. That's what he wanted. That's his game. Well, what does Zion do? And Zion, obviously, much better player than Terry Rozier. We're not even the same ballpark.
Well, I don't ask Terry Rozier that.
And he's got great upside. But if you're other veteran players, do you want to play on a team with Zion where he needs the ball at all times? He needs an open lane? He needs to take the ball to the hole? Where's your gameplay into that?
And does Anthony Davis, I know, obviously, he's under contract. Does he have any ability to say where he wants to go, where he will be traded to?
No.
He doesn't have a no-trade clause or anything like that, right? But he's openly, or his agent has openly said where they want to go. They tried to force the issue in L.A., right? And in the beginning, right, the Celtics were not part of that group because his dad was pissed. And I guarantee, I'm sure they're involved now. So if the Pelicans say they're going to trade him, and say they trade him to some other crap team that doesn't have an opportunity to win, can he fight that?
He has one more year remaining on his deal, so therefore they have control of him. But they could also sign him to a supermax contract on the 1st of July. They could do that.
New Orleans can.
Yes.
Okay.
Right.
And then trade him.
Yeah.
See, I wonder how much they stick it to Anthony Davis. Okay, you think you're in control. Yeah, but he's got to agree to sign that max deal. So he would not do that if he knows that they're going to somehow, manipulate where he goes.
See, I think the one thing that has changed in all of this is David Griffin. And if you're New Orleans and you're the owner right now, and you know who the owners are, they're the Saints owners. So you're dealing with kind of naive basketball people, and they seem to want to make the decisions in all of this. You just hired David Griffin. You got to be thrilled with what he's done so far, even though none of it is
all luck.
He's got the magic touch.
Yeah,
that guy,
exactly. Tell you what, his lucky charm was a tie.
But he's a really solid, really good basketball guy. So now you're sitting there as the owner, and Gail Benson is sitting there going, David, whatever you want to do, you go do it, big fella. And now Griffin, I think, has got control to be able to make the best deal for his franchise.
At this point
and
in time,
I still contend. That it might be painful for Boston to do it with some of these players, but Boston can still put out the best.
He's got to still. This hasn't changed anything. As a matter of fact, now it's easier for him to trade Anthony Davis. Right? They're thinking, okay, we're going to trade Anthony Davis for Zion. We don't have to do that because we already got Zion. Now we can trade Anthony Davis for other pieces. Right. It's ideal. The question I would have is, we look at Memphis. They got number 2. I would have liked them at 4. You want me to get a perfect world? 4. Right? Because that way it's like they don't get one of these guys. They don't get Ja Morant. Because Conley's going to be dealt. So, but still, year one?
No.
But see, the team that you look at is like Sacramento. Right? Because you said, that team's going to suck. I can't wait for this pick. Next thing you know, here comes De'Aaron Fox and Buddy Hield. But they're what? Year 2, year 3?
That's when they started turning it.
Right. But the point is
not the first year.
So next year they have to suck, his rookie year.
Yeah.
The following year it's unprotected. Well, maybe they could turn to Sacramento year 2 and be 9th, 10th, right? So who knows? But, it's a better possibility than you having 9 this year and 14. You don't want any part of that. So I just don't understand how people think that this was a bad night for the Boston Celtics. Who the hell was that then? We just heard on ESPN. Who was that? Ryan, who was it?
That was Sean Farnham.
Farnham, like what?
He's a college basketball analyst.
That's one of the losers? Because 14 didn't jump to 2, 3, or 4? There's like a 1% chance of that happening anyway. How the hell is that a big loser? The thing you should be focused on is who's going to get Zion, and it's New Orleans. Perfect. They're going to trade Anthony Davis. And did Memphis move up? Yes, they did. Perfect. It's a good night.
I think the biggest loser was the Celtics.
The biggest loser. How can that be the Knicks?
The only way,
the biggest loser, not the Knicks.
The only way that the Celtics,
well, the Suns.
Right, the only way the Celtics would be losers in this, Lou, is if Zion ended up going to New York or to the Lakers.
Does that guy just talk for the NBA?
I have no idea.
Does anyone in the world believe that the biggest loser last night was not the New York Knicks? Anyone in the world?
It's absolutely the Knicks.
How could it not be?
I'll give you another one. How about this with the Knicks? Suppose Kevin Durant. And there are some rumors right now that he might not come back at all in this series. And there's questions of whether he comes back in the next series. So a lot of people thought by looking at the video when it happened that the injury was more Achilles than it was calf, right?
Yeah.
Is it possible that the injury is a lot more serious? And it's one of those where if I'm Golden State, I'm not telling anybody. Why would you let anybody know that he's not going to play? I want that other team to prepare that any day he might be back. You know, if I'm their coach, I'm sitting there every day saying, well, we're just hoping to get, maybe we get KD back on Friday. Maybe we get KD back on Tuesday, right? You want to keep them on edge. But suppose he has to get surgery done in the offseason. And he looks at it and says, do I really want to get up and go right now?
We said it before, if it's an Achilles tear, he opts in. Gets healthy, rehabs, plays the last 15, 20, 30 games next year, goes to the postseason, and then leaves.
Right.
Damn it!
So the Knicks. But the Knicks aren't the biggest loser. It's the Celtics because 14 didn't turn into 2.
I think they're crazy.
Stupid.
I think they're crazy. I really do. All right. Alex Cora is going to join us coming up next. We'll get into the Bruins as well and the reason why the Hurricanes don't suck, even though it does look like they suck. We'll get to all of that at 617. I'll explain it. 617-779-7937 right here on OMF.
Baseball is back. And so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Take OMF with you wherever you go. Download the radio.com app. Now back to Ordway, Marloni, and Fourier on WEEI.
Obviously, it's on your mind, but was it something you really wanted a shot at?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's a pitcher on the planet that got 17 punch-outs. You definitely want to go out for the third one, the last inning, excuse me. I respect him as much as anybody on the planet, and I'll never question anything he does, even in regards to me with that.
Love that. It'd be great if our bosses felt the same way.
Oh, my God.
Takes him out of a game in the seventh inning with 17 strikeouts, and the next day, I love the man. I love him. Time right now for us to talk to that man. It is Alex Cora. He's brought to you by Arbella Insurance and Cumberland Farms, the official coffee of the Red Sox Radio Network. So I'll ask you the dumb question right out of the gate, because he was joking about it, obviously, and he gave you the sign of 20 as you were walking down the ramp in the dugout. Did you think at all about bringing him back out in the A's?
Not after the home run. I think to go out there on a high leverage situation, it's a lot different 3-0 than 3-2. Mm-hmm. To go out there and looking for tickets, like he calls it, you know. he wants a bunch of tickets in the eighth. So 108 pitches coming from the one in Baltimore, although he had an extra day, knowing that he's pitching Sunday and he's pitching Friday against the best offense in baseball, so he's not going to be that easy.
Plus, you know, you've been bringing him along slowly for a specific purpose, right?
Yes,
to extend
and
the season.
Be disciplined. You know, we got to be disciplined. It's funny because obviously people are going to think, yeah, he should have gone, history and all that, but those are the same people that in August and September, if he's not pitching,
it's your fault.
Then it's my fault because he ran 108 and 125 pitches.
Would be killing you.
How often are you talked out of a decision that you make? How often does that happen? Does it have to be?
It happens.
Is it personality-based, situational?
There was one, and I think that's when he turned a corner against the Tigers. You know, he gave up 4 in the first 2 innings, and he had 100 and something pitches in the 6. And when he was coming into the dugout, he's like, give me one more. I got it. And I'm like, are you sure? And he's like, yeah, I got something to prove here. And he went 7. And then after that, he went 6. He went 8. He went 7. So there was something about that start against the Tigers that, you know, he felt that Yeah, I need to go out there. But yesterday, when he was coming in, they wasn't like, give me one more. You know, I gave him a hug, and he was fine. That was amazing. That was fun to watch. There was at one point in the game, I think it was Arenado. He got he popped up to third base on three pitches, and I was like, that's good, because you start looking at the pitch count and the strikeouts and the innings, and the pitch count was getting up there, and I wanted him to go as far as possible. So it was a fun night, but it's not an easy one, because you know where he's at and history of the game, but at the same time, we have to take care of this guy. You know, for us to do what we set to accomplish, he needs to be healthy, and this is part of it.
You know, I know people always talk about, you know, well, what's he going to be like in September? I'm like, well, I don't know. Let's see what happens in September. But to me, the best feeling about it is that I would say since August 1st of last year, I wasn't sure, you know, what was going to happen with him. I wasn't sure if I was going to see that again. And we've seen it really the last three outings. So is this, I guess the question would be more of the beginning of the season, was it just building up strength to get to where he is right now? Because right now he's looking as sharp as he ever has.
Honestly, Lou, if you look at the games, I know the stuff wasn't great, but last year at the same time, the stuff wasn't great, but he was able to command. You know, he was able to throw the fastball wherever he wanted to. He was able to go six, seven innings because he was able to command his stuff. Early in the season against Seattle, there were some pitches up in the zone. They hit home runs. He pitched okay. He pitched great in Oakland.
Yeah.
Six innings, one run. The one against the Yankees, erratic in the zone. The one against the Blue Jays here, it was bad, but it wasn't bad. You know, a lot of singles, you know. It was kind of weird, the first five or six starts for him. But the stuff wasn't as crisp as now. I think location-wise, that's the difference. You know, he hasn't walked a guy in the last two, you know, early in the season. Lefties were hitting him, and he was walking guys. And he's not that guy. You know, if he's going to get hit, he'll get hit in the zone. Like in New York. In New York, he got hit because he left pitches up in the zone. That was about it.
So let me ask you, because I'm looking at your team right now, and I see last night. So it is, you know, you go into the game, you got Mitch Moreland, you got a platoon situation there, you got Sandy and Vasquez, and you got Jackie. I'm sure you don't want an 8-man bullpen all year long. You'd probably like to have that extra guy, but is it twofold? One of, you got to get a fourth starter back first, or do you have to get a body healthy? Or, you know what I mean? So it's not like someone's banging on the door.
All of the above.
Right, but I mean, I'm just saying, because 8-man bullpen, I don't know if you thought you'd have one this long into the season, because that bench is limiting you.
I mean, I think against lefties, we feel a little bit limited, you know, And because we have guys that usually they perform against lefties, and they're not doing that.
Yeah.
You know, Pierce, Eduardo, although he didn't hit lefties last year, but he'll put a quality at bat. And that's where we're at right now. It looks worse against lefties because Mookie right now against lefties, he hasn't performed. You know, he's hitting under 200. He only has three walks, all intentional, so he's not getting on base. But you know, when you have Mitch off the bench, when there's a lefty on the mound, well, it helps you out. Christian is swinging the bat well, so we're good in that aspect. Jackie yesterday, I think he's controlling the zone a little bit more. Seven walks in the last week, so it is where he is. We know we have that bullpen game, or Hector and the rest of them. So where we at right now, we're comfortable with it. The days off kind of like help us out here and there. But is it a perfect roster? Not yet, you know. But it's getting close to where we want to be.
You know, you talk about as far as starting pitchers, Eduardo Rodriguez. Okay, here's the guy that's, last six games, he's got, it's 4-0, 2.78 ERA, and we're talking these going into the sixth inning. So is this, and you guys have been coaching him hard, you've been critical of him, he's always had high expectations. Are you seeing the fruits of your labor right here, the tough love that you've been putting on him?
I would love to get credit, but it's about him understanding that he can get people out in the strike zone. You know, there's guys that have to pitch in the edge of the strike zone. He can get away with mistakes. You know, his changeup is that good, his fastball against righties up and away is that good, and he doesn't have to nibble. You know, 0-2, attack the guy. You know, there's a quick out. You know, and he's been doing that. I think his changeup usage in the last one was great, and the location of the changeup was in a great place that he was able to induce these guys to weak contact early in the count, and that's what is going to make you to go six, seven innings, and he's understanding that. And I think him watching David and Chris, and not the stuff, the way they attack hitters, the way they attack the strike zone, he's understanding that, my stuff is different than their stuff, but it's good. and I can get people out in the zone, and he's been doing that good the last two or three.
Michael Chavis is getting some big hits for you, and he's hitting some towering balls. I don't know if that was fair last night. Did you think it was fair from the dugout?
I lost it right away, so yeah, I was like, please call it fair. Good. And he did. I was like, okay.
Well, the good news is the umpires didn't see it either. So that's why he didn't. That was perfect for you. I remember the week before he came up here, I think Lou asked you the question and said,
it was on that off day in Tampa.
Right.
The day before he got called up.
Right. Is this kid?
It was in Mexico.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right. Fourier was gone. I like the way you keep notes on where all of us are.
We think Sean McVay has a good memory. This guy's got a better memory than
that.
Sean McVay.
I got to give it to you. So you said at the time when Lou was asking you whether he was ready for the big leagues because you might need him. We were looking at the Pedroia situation. You said he is at the plate. I'm not sure he is in the field yet. In the field, he's looked okay here. So you tell me, what's the difference of watching him now versus what you saw in the spring when you did not think he was defensively ready?
Yeah, well, he didn't play that much at second, first of all, in spring training. And it's a different angle. He's used to the third base angle. He's signed as a shortstop. So he didn't have too many he didn't have repetitions. And I still remember the first ground ball they hit to him. I think we were in the road, and he rushed into it. The runner's coming. He bubbles it and is an error. And then the other day, same play to end the game. He slows down, catches it, throws to first. So he's learning at the big league level, but he has good footwork. He got good hands. And we're putting him in spots that, you know, hopefully the ball is going to be put in play in that spot. We don't expect him to be a Robbie Alomar, kind of like diving and making great plays, but make the routine play, and he's learning. The next step, I think, is the double play. He turned a good one 3 or 4 days ago. He got his right foot down quick, and he threw it when we were in, where was it? I forgot. Whatever. He got hit on a double play because he kind of like shuffled into the runner, and he threw the ball away. Chicago. It was against the White Sox. It was an error. So he's a work in progress, but he's good. You know, his baseball IQ is great, and he's willing to learn. And, you know, so far so good at second base. We're very pleased with the way he's been playing the position.
Yeah, I see last night. I mean, it's almost like if you make a mistake in a half, he makes you pay. Right? And he's got a good idea of the zone. Like that slider, it was like, man, if he throws him another one down the way, this could be a tough one. But he left it in her half, and he made him pay for it.
Yeah.
He doesn't miss mistakes.
And the thing, Lou, he understands his moves. You know, he's a guy that he works, you know, on a daily basis. He understands what he wants to do. When he's hitting the ball, you know, on the ground too much, well, he has his own drills to get back to hit the ball in the air. He controls the strike zone. That's the most important thing. And that's a topic with all our hitters right now. You know, Rafi Devers, everybody's talking about his home runs. You know, he only has 3, but, hey, man, what he's doing right now is controlling the zone and getting his walks and hitting the ball the other way. And if we do that as a unit, we're gonna be a lot better offensively. And we are pretty good right now. If you look at the numbers, we're like top 3 in on-base percentage, run scores, and all that. And I don't feel we haven't clicked offensively. So we're very close to that, and when we do that, it's going to be fun.
I was wondering last night when Rafi went oppo and hit that bomb. I think it was the first one since May of last year. Are you still getting him free ice cream if he does that?
No. It was actually it was a Mexican restaurant night. The gift cards. Yeah. No. We don't do that.
You got this.
We don't do that. We can't get him heavy anymore.
22 years old.
Looks good right now.
He looks great, huh?
And I don't know what he does, but he hits his head. He did it about 10 times last night. But he's 22 years old, leading the American League in hitting right now.
Yeah.
Is it just controlling the strike zone for him?
Yes. And you know, when he's using his hands and not trying to do too much, he can hit line drives everywhere. You know, he's been pulling the ball over the first baseman with authority, and now he's hitting the ball up the middle. Yesterday, he hit the ball in the air to left field. And as you know, well, hopefully summer comes here in Boston. You know?
August, wait.
Yeah, in August. Well, in August, you know, he'll hit a few fly balls, and they're going to go out of the ballpark. And it's been fun to watch. It really is. You know, we challenged him to hit third early in the season. We made some adjustments. I think he found a place in the lineup, you know, right after Xander. And he's doing a good job, and we're very proud. You know, he even defensively, you know, the last week and a half, you know, he's been working on it. And yesterday there was a ground ball, a slow grounder that he charged, and he actually caught it on the left side instead of like right in between his legs. You know, and now he's getting it, and he's playing at an all-star level. You know, right now he's doing an outstanding job, and He's only 22.
Yeah.
So updates on two guys, Pedroia first, and then Price, if you could.
David is going to throw a bullpen on Friday, so most likely he's going to start in Toronto. That's the goal, you know. And with Dustin, he's going to work out again today. We got early work today. He's going to hit, move around. And hopefully, if everything goes well, send him on Friday or Saturday to start his new rehab assignment.
So I know you're always accountable, and I know when you were a player, you wanted your teammates accountable. And I wasn't down there after. I just saw a couple beat reporters, because these two guys have really been very good for you all year, Workman and Brazier. And apparently they weren't around to talk to the media. Is that, or they didn't make themselves available?
I didn't know about that.
Do you address that with them at all, or when?
I talk to them. That's something that I want from my players. You know, be responsible, genuine, and transparent. You know, and when you do good, you know, hey, but you talk about it, and when you're not that good, well, you should talk about it. So
Workman last night, 94. You know, yeah. And probably the best fastball we've seen in a while. Did that affect the overthrows, a couple curveballs?
No, one thing for sure, as you know, teams are going to make adjustments, you know, and everybody's been talking about the breaking ball. He's been great so far during the season. So 2-0 breaking ball to Blackburn, and he stayed back, and he put a good swing on it. So we might have to, you know, be more aggressive with the breaking ball the upcoming days, you know, because we're going to face teams that they're doing their homework, and they're going to make adjustments.
All right, here's the Cumberland Farms question of the week for Alex. It was submitted by Joshua Pransky from Stoughton, Massachusetts. That's a good one. I'm surprised.
You sound shocked.
I am a little bit. Which player in the Red Sox right now do you think is the most overlooked in terms of their contribution this year?
Rafael Devers. You know, people don't understand how much
it's a quick answer,
he means to our lineup. You know, he creates balance. It's a quality of bat. His on-base percentage against righties is over 400. He's actually handling lefties pretty well. And for a kid that is only 22 years old, and we're asking a lot of him, you know, not only defensively but offensively too, he's been amazing to us.
You know what is amazing, though, that people have been critical of him, and he was on track for 108 errors or whatever the hell it was. But you really can't take him out of the lineup, can you? Because now you not only do you need him at the plate, but how about his confidence level? People forget he's 22.
Yeah.
And it's really the routine plays that he's messing up right now. He makes the dramatic ones.
And he's been getting better. You know, this guy, he has good footwork, good arm, good instincts. It's just a matter of being more consistent in a routine play. And when that happens, we're going to have an all-star caliber third baseman.
Unbelievable. There's your Cumberland Farms question of the week, brought to you by Cumberland Farms Farmhouse Blend Iced Coffee. Go to weei.com/manager to submit your question for us to ask Alex Cora every week. One other thing before we let you go. We had been asking what you're going to do with all of those pictures, the wall of wins that you had out here down the hallway. And apparently you have donated them to the Jimmy Fund for part of our Jimmy Fund radio telethon that we do every August with Nesson. And we're hoping there are 119 photos. They're all framed. They're all signed, correct? Most of them are signed. This is an unbelievable opportunity. Did you know, by the way, they had it appraised? Do you know it's worth $300,000?
I didn't know that.
I know. You still want to give it? You still want to give it up? No.
I know it's worth a ring and a good playoff share.
So you're kind of like an artist. You put this thing together, and it's worth that kind of value.
Wow. Yeah, that's cool. I mean, I thought about it. I think, obviously this team means a lot to the city, and the Jimmy Fund, and means a lot to us and everybody that, you know, has been a part of our organization and all others here in the city. And I was like, you know what, why not use it for this and use it for the right cause?
It is perfect. And I know an individual probably it doesn't have the room unless you have a gigantic house to put the whole thing, but I don't Oh, you do.
You do. You do.
Yeah. I'm downsizing.
He's selling his house.
Downsizing.
Sorry. You should add this to your house.
Yeah. So how about this? How about a business? How about one of these casinos? How about Encore over here? Wouldn't that be something special? If you had a Red Sox,
maybe a Jordan's themed furniture.
Area? Jordan's furniture
like
would be perfect. I mean, a business, it would be absolutely perfect. It's like a museum piece.
Would be nice. Yeah.
And 119 of them, and it led to a World Series victory.
Beautiful.
Or what did the Trump call it? What do they call it in the White House? A World Cup.
World Cup Series champs.
And they changed the spelling of Red Sox, by the way. By the way, next time you send guys to the White House, and I know that nothing really happened. It was 10 minutes. It was fine. Your players are all good. Send them the averages beforehand so that Steve Pierce doesn't get embarrassed. Okay, with the president, can you do that?
Leave that alone.
You don't have an answer.
We'll bring the stacks next year.
All right, good seeing you, Alex.
See you guys
next week. Alex Core, right here on OMF.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.